Welcome to the end of 2023. Y'all spent a year and we're about to dive into a new one. So I have thoughts about like what we can expect as creators, as women and stuff heading into this new year and like how we can adapt, overcome, adjust, profit, thrive as we head into a new year. Let's do this. Welcome to the Women of YouTube podcast. This podcast is hosted by me, Desiree Martinez. Every week, I'm going to be showing up in your earbuds to inspire you on your YouTube journey with killer interviews with women YouTube creators, deep dives into the inner workings of how YouTube works, and discussing all the things about YouTube culture and the impact it is having on our world. This podcast is brought to you in partnership with vidIQ, where they help you maximize your video's YouTube reach by studying titles, description, tags, and playlists relevant to your subject matter, while also studying your competitors to help you know exactly what you should be doing for your YouTube growth. So if you're a female creator looking to grow your channel, level up your content, and learn from the best women creators on the platform to get you on your way to YouTube success and future-proofing your income, this is the perfect place for you. Let's do this. What's up, ladies? Welcome to another episode of the Women of Video Podcast. I'm so pumped to be in them earballs today. Okay, we're diving into this. Like, we're reflecting. This comes out the week between Christmas and New Year. So this is where you're supposed to be like taking time for you, maybe getting ready for life. Maybe you're listening to this at the beginning of the year. You're like, okay, like I'm ready to get my creator life together, start a new journey, new me, new all the things. I am really terrible at like New Year's resolutions. I do really like this idea though of like the word. And so like I've had a word like to focus me for a couple years. In 2023, well, my word was me. And I was actually thinking about this the other day. It's so interesting how this year of me ended up being nothing like what I wanted it to be. Like, I've been working for myself for 15 years. I've been creating for years. I've been on social media for years. Like, y'all know my story. But what's so interesting to me is when I went out to make this year of me, it was this idea. It's like, you know, I can have personal goals. Like, I don't always have to have business ones. Like, what does Desiree want from this year? And I honestly don't even remember. I can't find my paper I wrote it down on. And I'm sure that every single one of them just got flushed down the toilet. Because what ended up happening to me in this year of me was like, it was my existential crisis year. It was the year that I personally unraveled. Okay. Like it started like, the dam broke when my dog died. And I know it always sounds so like weird saying that because it's not like my mom died or something, but my dog was my like my heart, my touchstone, my base. I'd have had her. I got her impulsively at like 23 years old. And when I lived in Florida, I was all by myself. And she was my ride or die through all. And so losing her was so unimaginably hard for me. Like it still is gut-wrenching for me like 9 months later. And it broke me. It broke my dam. I had been spending years putting up around my brain and my feelings because my husband has PTSD. My kids have a lot of struggles and we're coming now to realizations of what those things are and it makes sense and they're able to get them help, which is allowing for us to like function and exist in a way happier, better place. But I broke. And there was a lot of things that happened to me. There were literal things I said. Like I had a lot of like talk of things I would say all the time. Like, you know, I wrote this, I don't even know how to like, kind of like dive into the story. So I had a really hard year and I broke in a lot of ways. I had a lot of like trash built up in my brain that like feelings get in the way of progress. And my family is different and that's the problem and they need to change. I was really resentful. I was holding on to all of these things that had happened in the past that were causing so many limiting beliefs for me. And it just wasn't working. And so I remember talking to my friend, Stephanie Liu. If you go back to episode 198, I talked to Stephanie Liu and afterwards she's talking and I are doing a little like debrief situation. She's like, Des, what is wrong? And I told her, I was just honest with her. Like, I'm really struggling. I have all these things. And she's like, as she heard me and she basically did like a virtual slap in the face. She was like, Desiree, stop. Like, you are the most action-oriented person that I know next to myself. You should not be doing this. Like, these beliefs you have, these things that you're talking about, like you love your husband, you're not going to leave. If you were going to leave, you would have left. It's like you are making yourself miserable and it is affecting every part of your life. Like these things, these limiting beliefs, these shitty things that you're living through are causing your personal life to unravel, your home life to unravel, your business life to unravel, your content is crap. Like this is affecting you and you need to stop if you want to be happy. And I literally just like took it and sat in it. And the next day, I'm laying in bed because I'm sick. Of course, I'm sick. I'm sick. And I'm laying with my husband. And we're having a moment. And we're watching a thing. And I was like, I paused it. I turned and looked at him. And I was like, I'm done. I am done being miserable. I am done with all of it. I don't want it anymore. I just want to be happy again. And holding on to all of those things is stopping me from having that. And of course, like, he was grateful and we had a moment. There was tears and all this stuff. And I end up writing this like personal manifesto to myself, talking about like how holding on the past isn't serving me. Complaining at my family isn't helping me. Being angry and resentful isn't healing. And like what I was planning to do to reframe my thoughts around it. Like, feeling gives me connection, relatability, and wholeness. And I'm going to help work on this problem I'm having by going to therapy and getting on medication to help me get things, you know, in order. Complaining about my family isn't going to work. Like, my family is different than me. All three of them. It's me, my husband, and my two kids. They all have ADHD. My son's being tested for autism. My husband has PTSD and anxiety from time in service. Like, there's a lot of things. I just kept getting so mad at them for how they were, how their brains work, and what was going on. And I was like, stop. I need to use my strengths of administration and accountability and taking care of things to help my family succeed. Because if they can have those things that they can, if I can do what I do well, then they can do what they do well. And having this like shift is allowing for us to do that. So it's, we're finding systems so that we can have and accomplish goals together as a family. And then like being angry and resentful, like I have to move forward with the plans and the things that we want. And leave the stuff in the past and learn from it, acknowledge it, feel it, learn from it, but move on from it because it's not helping me. You know, and I wrote this letter to myself. I said, I haven't left for a reason. I don't want to. I need to feel and use those feelings to come or to express what I need. It's time to get back to playing and having fun and going on adventures. My personal life is the foundation of who I am, and I can't grow if I don't let go. Let's love each other. Let's fulfill each other. Let's fill each other's cups with love, to support each other, and let's take action. And doing this exercise for myself has completely changed how I'm moving forward with my year. And this happened to me in like October, I want to say, where I had this thing and I moved forward and I'm going forward. Like, that's for me. So when I had this year of me, I did not realize that it was, I thought I was going to like find a hobby, which I did. I'm gardening now. And I was going to just do stuff for myself and have personal goals. And I did accomplish things in my year. I finally took my family to England, which was a huge bucket list item. We went on our first cruise, you know, it's from like a big like family standpoint. Like, we just have done a lot of stuff. Look, I'm really sorry to interrupt, but did you know that YouTube is the world's second biggest search engine? Maybe you did, maybe you didn't, but that's why every creator truly needs to be using vidIQ to grow their YouTube channel. vidIQ's tech helps you tailor your video ideas to match what people are searching for right now on YouTube. And once you're ready to upload, well, it starts optimizing and getting you all the details that you need to make sure your videos are getting noticed. If you really want to dive in more and get started for free, please head over to thewomenofyoutube.com/vidIQ to get started on this YouTube channel changing tool that is going to make things so much easier for you. All right, let's get back to it. And so when I reflect on what I want my next year to be, I don't know what my word is. I will report back. If you go to our Patreon, I'll share my word in our Patreon once I know what it is. But when I reflect on what's coming up in this year, I have to look back and think of all the things that have happened and where we're coming from. So I shared that personal journey with you because it's always important to me to share with you what's going on, so you know why things have been the way that they are. I ask things allows you to connect and real and feel like you're not, hopefully not alone as well. But when I found out what's happened this past year from the creator economy space, like, it's been a mess. Like, it's been hard and it hasn't helped with the me stuff that I was going through. And I think the biggest things that have been frustrating is like, we've had a lot of changes to creator programs. You know, YouTube like dove into shorts and it really affected AdSense and reach for long form content. When we look at, you know, creator programs like the Amazon creator program, like, it was nothing like it was last year. It was bad. Like, it was really, really bad. And it was hard, you know. Creators like sponsors and opportunities like really went away and like cut budgets and a lot of mentalities around it I thought were really messed up. Like, you can work with smaller creators and pay them less. And, you know, that whole, you know, trash conversation was super crappy as well. But, you know, as we head into the new year, I think there's some important things for us to kind of track and keep up with and know what we're happening. So as we head into 2024, we're going to be faced with a recession. Like, there was no way that wasn't going to happen for a lot of us. It's our second one, and that's super shitty. Like, I graduated from college into a recession. It's what led to me starting my own business because I had to. I had no other choice. And we're about to head into one, and it's going to be an interesting one because social media and the creator economy has never been through a recession before. So it's going to be very interesting to see, like, how it is being used. It's going to be interesting to see how it thrives. It's going to be interesting to see how it succeeds or doesn't succeed. And I think from, like, what we can expect that we can do as creators is, one, make sure we have some really strategic brand partnerships in place or that we find them. We don't need a bazillion sponsors. We don't. We just need a couple that we can, like, have strong relationships with, where we can have a mutually beneficial relationship, whether it's financial, like, they pay you and then you give to them. But I think that's going to be really important to have those strong partnerships, because strong partnerships allow for you guys to have long-term success together. You don't have to have a little bit of financial stability and accountability on your part for what you can do. Because when you're worrying about money, it makes it difficult to make content. It makes it difficult to do things. And speaking from experience, this past year has been hard for me. Even though I've had some really solid, you know, strategic partnerships, it's still hard because I worry about money and, like, where things are coming from and the agency. My agency is in the toilet right now, like, all honesty, because social media is a luxury good. As we head into recession, people do not have money for luxury goods. I'm having to pull back what I'm offering from a marketing perspective to be, like, whole marketing. Like, what are we doing as a whole here? How are we succeeding on a grander place? You know, like, it's just strategic partnerships are going to be where you're at to, like, find success and do things really well. I think that we also need to take the time to figure out what are our own products that we can do. What are our digital products? What are our systems that we can sell? What are, like, solutions that you had? Like, last week's episode when we talked with Natalie, she created her own content management and project management tool. That's what she needed. So what, I'm not saying you need to create a software, but, like, what are your own products that you can do? What are things that you can make that you can control the outcome of? You can sponsor your own content, things that you can make to build out that, because the recession, you're going to find good pricing. You're going to find lots of new problems, and you might be able to have those solutions within that. So really consider how you can make your own products to help get you through financially in the recession, to help you conquer all of that of that. Another thing I think is going to happen in the next year is we're going to see more niche events. In 2023, we saw some really cool events with, like Ecamm did a creator camp where they brought people in from all over. They brought in their influencers to be camp counselors, and they just, like, brought people together and, like, thrived in this space. Pinterest did an event like this where they invited creators to come, and it was sponsored in partnership with another brand. They helped them create better content, what you can expect up ahead. Sony did this over the summer. They did, like, a thing in Salt Lake or in Utah somewhere where they brought their creators in. I know about it because, you know, Katie Steckley and Jessica Stansberry, they had gone and talked about it on their blogs, and, you know, they brought their creators together. They taught them how to use the tools and create better content. That's what we have coming out. And they brought models and they had environments just to create really cool content and play and capture and all kinds of fun stuff. Like, so I think what, as we head into the next year, brands are going to be faced with a very fundamental issue. Rather than, they're going to be in a world of retention versus a world of acquisition. How can we retain our customers? How can we maintain what we're doing as a company from a financial perspective? And I think that niche events is going to be a big part of that. So the reason I want you to pay attention to this is you can talk to the brands that you work with and you support to build relationships, maybe plant the seed with them that they should do one, or that you would want to go to that niche event. Because having intimate one-on-one relationships with their creator partners is going to allow for you to, one, feel a stronger bond with that brand, a more loyalty to that brand, and then go to the other brands or businesses to be go to the world and create content about that brand or business so that they can have more customers and keep the ones that they have. So I think that we're going to see that a lot. And I also think when we talk about businesses, I think that they're going to become creators themselves. I think that brands are going to finally realize that we need to have a presence in these creator spaces, creating YouTube content, creating better or more targeted, specific, fun, social content. And I think that you have the opportunity to reach out to the brands that you like, hey, can I create for you? Like, let's have a conversation what this looks like. I see these gaps. I'd love to fill them for you. Here's a proposal. Creating for brands is essentially a form of, like, UGC, where, like, they own the content, but you get to be the face of it. You get to create it and put your specialness into it so that they can succeed in that space. Because I think that that is the best thing that creators can do right now, is work with brands who are wanting to market their own businesses in their own way and create their own content versus relying on influencers and others to create about them, and so instead create for them. So I think that that's going to be a really helpful thing as we head into the new year.
I know things were getting really good over in our interview, but I wanted to take a minute to remind you that we now have a new home for the Women in Video community. You can head over to Patreon right now, and we have the link in our show notes that you can go find it there, where we're going to be able to have after show information, we're going to have chats, we're going to have information, and just come together to answer questions and connect and support each other as creators. This whole creator thing can be really confusing and can be really lonely. So let's come together to support each other like the badass women that we are. Head over to patreon.com/womenofvideo to get started now.
We as creators are also going to be in this position across the board to simplify what we're doing. Not only do we need to simplify our content, like, I think we're getting away from the jumpy all over situation. I think that we're still going to have that content in specific spaces, but having longer shots, having more intentional time on screen, holding attention in a way that's like captivating because it's like storytelling is going to be where it's at. I know for me, my personal project, my personal objective in this next year is to, I want to rebrand myself away from being the social media girl to being someone that people turn to for love, support, and help. And so my personal rebrand around a new channel I'm going to be building is going to be me telling stories about things I've been through to help other people, specifically women. My target very specifically is women, moms, married people, and talking about the things I have been through so that they can find success, so that they can feel heard and seen. They can learn from lessons. They can know that it's not all picture perfect, that I'm not pushing the mess out of the way to create the perfect shot. I'm literally going to be filming in my unaesthetically pleasing home and talking about the really hard things I have been through, like helping my husband with suicide, dealing with the problems from my past, dealing with the stuff as a mom, dealing with military, like dealing with my personal like issues and struggles, and telling the stories I have gone through, talking about them from a place of like, this is what I've been through, and here is like where I'm at now, because knowing that will hopefully help you through wherever you are in your life, kind of being that big sister, the auntie to people so that they can connect. I think that my simplification around this is that it's just me in front of a camera telling a story, one shot, no editing, no text on the screen, just me talking really well to the camera, simple thumbnails, impactful titles, and not having all the extra stuff. I think we're also going to be doing like smarter things from a tool perspective, like condensing all the tools and things that we might be having that we're paying for, that we're using, so that we can streamline our processes and not overcomplicate things as best as possible. So I think that when we talk about simplifying in the creator space, that's what we can kind of look forward to and see. And what I would encourage you to analyze, like what you're doing, that you can simplify your processes as well. Now, when we talk about what's going to happen with the platforms going into this new year, I have some theories around what's going to happen here. So one, I think LinkedIn is going to become a really strong player in the game. LinkedIn is one of my favorite social networks. It's where I spend a lot of time connecting and networking and talking to people. And I think that more people are going to be doing that because the platforms like LinkedIn is just so powerful for connecting. It's where the brands are, it's where the people are, where the individuals are. There's a ton of conversation around the creator economy and YouTube and TikTok and all the things happening there. There are amazing like creator newsletters that are happening that come out. Like my friend Lindsay Gimbel does. Like he does this great thing on LinkedIn every week where he's talking about the state of the creator economy, giving news, thoughts, opinions. Like it's awesome. And I think that if we spent more time on LinkedIn, building out our personal brands intentionally around who we want to be professionally, we'll be able to track the businesses that we want and the attention that we want. With YouTube, I think that it's still going to continue to go on a journey. And I think that YouTube is going to be getting even more narrow with what they want from us. Like once you have found success around one thing, they are not going to be forgiving with letting you do other things because they want you to be so specific. Even with the kind of content that you're creating, like are you just doing shorts? Are you just doing long form? Are you just doing a podcast? Are you just live streaming? Like they want that specificity to do it. I also think that with any luck, YouTube will finally figure out their uniqueness around shorts. Like they dove into shorts to compete with TikTok, but they have not gotten their footing around how to make it their own unique platform, their own unique tool. Because currently, it's just not serving professional YouTubers. People literally have built YouTube shorts channels and walked away from them because they're not building an audience or community around them. Like they're not able to connect. They're just, it's just trash for their money, their brands, what they want to do. And so being able to, like, they need to figure that out. Like YouTube needs to figure that out. How can shorts content and long form content coexist together? I also think that this is the year for us to really dive into personal branding. I know that we're always kind of doing this, but I think if you have your long form content holding tried and true to like what you're about, you should be using a secondary platform like Instagram or LinkedIn, dare I even say Facebook, to build a personal brand. I have wonderful success as a personal brand on Facebook because I've been using Facebook since 2006. It is still one of my favorite places to go. I still automatically load it up every day to be there. So don't discount it. Don't have a page. Don't do that. But have like the personal profile, like not the friend account, like the professional personal profile to be there. Chef's kiss. It's so good. It's a great way to connect and grow as an individual. So figure out where you can build a personal brand, what platform that will be in support of long form content, like on TikTok or on YouTube, specifically YouTube. Like TikTok's short form content, but it's kind of different, but you can still be more personable and things like that over there. So that's what I think is happening in 2024. All right. We're going to be in a recession. Companies are going to be focusing on retention versus acquisition. We're going to see a lot of like simplifying of content. And I think that we're going to be spending this time as platforms really building out our personal brands and using tools very strategically and intentionally in specific ways versus like one place just like, you know, broadcast and like throw confetti all over everything and be everywhere at once. So that's my thoughts. I hope you have an amazingly impossible new year. I cannot wait to hear about all the awesome things that you're going to do. Please join our Patreon so you can come share with me your goals, your objectives, your plans, and we can work on a plan together over there, because that's what Patreon is for. The Patreon is for us to build community and grow and talk and converse as individuals, as women, because there's no space for us like that, in that kind of way. So let's build that out this year. That's my goal personally, is to build out a successful Patreon in 2024. I hope that you will be a part of it starting now, taking action from this podcast. You are impossibly amazing. Until the new year.
Thank you for listening to the Women of YouTube podcast. We would love to know what you thought about this latest episode. So make sure to tag us with hashtag Women of YouTube with your thoughts.